Thank you for that, Eric, and thank you for being here. Tonight, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter number 16. We've had a great day today, and thank the Lord for air conditioning. How many of you remember the old building when we used to have the people meeting outside, and we would crank the air conditioner, and we would have the windows closed, and everybody would come in, and once we opened those windows for the outside, the battle was lost. Those days are over, and we're grateful for air conditioning. It's the small things in life that make us happy. I want to share a thought with you tonight. Something I get, it's like, where do you get messages from? A lot of times you get them, you're just looking in your Bible, reading your Bible, and I've just figured if God speaks to me about something in my Bible, that might be a good place to start. But sometimes I'll be listening to someone preaching or speaking, and it's not their message, but they'll reference a Bible character, they'll reference a verse, and as they're preaching, I'm thinking about that one verse that they talked about, and you know, the wheels start turning in my head. And somebody, I forget who it was, they mentioned this Bible character, and I started thinking about this story. I went to my Bible, and I studied it a little bit, and so I want to share a thought today from this story that we probably know pretty well. And I've said it before, your life, how your life goes is going to be dependent on the type of choices that you make, right? And I've been working in church work and and ministry for a while, and sometimes I see people that just have nothing but nonstop struggles in their life. You can get through that, by the way. But a lot of times it's because you can see a long string of really bad or unwise choices. The opposite's true as well. If you see somebody whose life is going fairly well and things are kind of hanging in there and they're going in a great direction, you can also see a person who has a string of very good choices in their life. Now, what's the problem with that? We like to take the easy road. When it comes to choices in life, we're very easily caught up with things that seem simpler, things that seem that they'll bring a faster bit of more profit to us in a sooner way, something we feel would be best for us, and we tend to take God out of the equation. I think of Eve and Adam. I mentioned her name first because she made the first bad choice, and she made her choice based on her senses and peer pressure, and that did not turn out well for her. They looked at the tree, and her senses said it looks good, it's probably good, and it's something I would want, despite the fact that God said you can't have it. And she was getting pressure from Satan, and she ate the fruit. And then she gave to her husband, who felt the same pressure, and he ate the fruit. The situation for us, as much like Adam and Eve, is this. The bulk of our important decisions will revolve around whether we choose the spiritual or the unspiritual, okay? It's more than just choosing good or bad. We need to see life from a spiritual choice. Because Adam and Eve based their choices on the easy path, they gave into their senses, they gave into peer pressure, they made the wrong choice. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," she saw it with her eyes. It was good for food. That was something that her flesh would like. That it was, again, pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be desired to make one wise. She bought into the lie. If she ate it, it would also help her to be wise. She can make her own decision. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave to her husband, and they ate. And do you know that decision had far, far, far reaching consequences for them and really for us? Because we are all in their lineage, and so we were all born sinners. Well, we're going to look at the story tonight. We're going to look at God, Abraham. God had promised Abraham that one day he would have a child that would be his heir. He was not specifically told when that was going to happen. He thought it would be through somebody else because he hadn't had a son. One of his servants would take that mantle. But God said, no, that's what's going to happen. And so time had kind of rolled on, and they didn't have a son. And you know what happens when you're expecting something and it doesn't happen quickly. What happens? We get a little bit impatient. And so they decided that they could figure it out on their own. And by the way, we also knew that the birth would be a miracle because Sarah was past that time of life when God had told her. So Sarah doubted. this would happen. So she came up with an alternative plan. I always love when we try to help God out by coming up with our own plans, right? God says something, we know what he wants, and instead of just following him, we're kind of like, you know, let me help God out a little bit. It's taking a little bit too long, and that's exactly what happened. So what she did is she offered her handmaid. She said, you can have her, Hagar, who was much younger, and said, Abraham, you take her, you can have a child with her, and that child will be my child, and it will be our child. And Hagar, she was an Egyptian who I believe that when Abraham went down to Egypt, and he shouldn't have, and he went down there and did the whole lie thing with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gave him some stuff, and he gave him some servants, and I believe she was one of those servants. By the way, anything from Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. That's what the Bible pictures it as, and we don't want things from the world. So Abraham agrees to the plan. He takes Hagar as his second wife, and he goes and he has a child with her. And lo and behold, Sarah doesn't like that plan anymore. Now, I always like this. When ladies push you to do something and then you do it and it doesn't go well, it's like, hey, it's your fault. You shouldn't listen to me, okay? And she pulls that card out and says, hey, my wrong be upon you. What were you doing listening to me? And I got to be honest with you, it's kind of true. But God made it clear to him that wasn't the child. That's not what you were supposed to do. And so he eventually has his son Isaac. But that was a really, really, really bad choice. That choice plagued him. By the way, it plagues us until this day. A lot of the nonsense going on over in the Middle East is because can be back to the people that came about as that really bad choice. You see, your life is determined by your choices. And when I'm talking about choices, I am talking about primarily spiritual choices. See, there's good choices, there's bad choices, but there's also spiritual choices and unspiritual choices. And I'm not talking about a person in here tonight that would make a choice and they really don't care what God says. And I don't think that would be many of us in here tonight, if any of us. I'm talking about we're making decisions and we want God in on it, but sometimes we step outside of that and we try to make our own decisions and make it God's decision. That's where we get in trouble. But where you are spiritually usually starts because you made good choices. Think of where you're at spiritually. You know, a lot of it started with either getting saved or deciding, hey, I want to go to church. Salvation usually is in there somewhere, right? And you say, oh, I'm not at church. I'll go to church. You go to church on a Sunday morning, and then you like it, and you say, I'll start coming back. And then either you're saved or you get saved, and then you start making more decisions. Like, you know what? I'm going to come to more services like you came back tonight because you want to grow more in your faith. And then you might make the decision, I want to start reading my Bible because I want to learn what God says, and I want to spend time with God. And then you say, you know what, I want to be a good steward and I want to give to God of my resources and of my time. You might get involved in a ministry. And you've made all these different choices and all these different good spiritual choices. You know, I'm going to be a soul winner now. I don't want to just be here. I want to share the faith with somebody else. And those good decisions all build up upon themselves and get you to where you want to be. But we must make the right spiritual choices if we're going to have the right consequences. Because if we make the wrong decisions, we are going to experience the wrong consequences. Just like Abraham did. Abraham wasn't a bad guy. Abraham was a good guy. The father of the faith. Father of God's people. And yet, in this area, he made a really bad decision. You know what they chose? They chose Hagar. Hagar wasn't just a personal choice. As I look at her, she represents a really bad spiritual decision. One that I'm sure they regretted. They didn't have bad intentions. They just were trying to do God's work in their own way. And it did not work out for them. As I look at Christians, far too many of us make what I would call Hagar decisions. We make decisions that are going to affect our spirituality, and we do it based on wrong criteria or wrong emotions or wrong reasons. And that's exactly what they did. So here's the thing. How can we avoid choosing Hagar? Let me give you a couple thoughts. You avoid choosing Hagar by, number one, choosing to be committed to God's plan. Look at Genesis chapter 15. We read chapter 16. Go back to 15 for a minute. Verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God says, hey, you're going to be blessed. I'm your protector. I'm your reward. And Abraham had a question after hearing that. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. He goes, I don't have a child. And really what he's saying is, I don't have an heir, and the heir is going to be Eliezer. He's not even my son of my family. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. You know what he said? He said, you're going to have a son. And I'm sure it's implied that that son was going to be through Sarah. God wasn't going to start his people by having him have a child through an Egyptian. God gave him a plan and God gave him a promise. You're going to have a son. But it's amazing how we can talk ourselves, what we can talk ourselves into when we are making a decision that goes against God's plan. We are very good at rationalizing. When this plan that we're going to talk about in a minute, their plan came up, it wasn't because they had bad intentions. They're just helping God out. Now, they had the wrong motivations and criteria for making that decision, but they made a bad decision. You know, we're thinking, I know this may not be best, but if I do this, this might bring about good results. Listen, if it's not what God wants, I don't care about the results. God doesn't need you to figure things out for him. Right? God needs us to just trust him and say, hey, Lord, I'm committed to your plan. I'm committed to what you say, and I'm going to wait it out, and I'm going to trust you. I have met people that can rationalize anything in the Bible. We live in a time when people who claim to be Christians, and I have a real hard time believing some of them, can just rationalize any kind of godless behavior. There are Christians that are running around today spiritualizing and trying to support abortion. Can I vent? I'm done with Steph Curry. Oh, he's a Christian and he's a good guy. Really? He just came out and said he's going to vote for Kamala because she's for abortion. His Christianity doesn't mean a thing to me. That's not Christianity. You're being mean. I'm not being mean, but we're ignorant as Christians. Well, I'm a good Christian guy. He's probably a nice guy, but he's listening to nonsense. You cannot open a Bible and tell me that's right. We can look, the president, a former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He was president probably 6 years ago. By the way, he was raised in a church like ours. But he kind of went to the Southern Baptist Convention. If you know what that is, that's a denomination, and they've gone crazy to the left. He got up and preached about homosexuality and said, why do we make a big deal out of it? Why are we screaming about something that God, I almost ate a fly, not hungry yet. He said, why are we screaming about something that the Bible whispers about? You know what that's called? Heresy. Bible doesn't whisper about things that are wrong. So we're trying to spiritualize things, and people can take that same type of energy and they're trying to spiritualize things in their life. Well, you know, I know what God's plan is for me, but I can get there and still do these type of things. We can rationalize allowing ourselves to be influenced by those who are hostile to God. Do you know we're supposed to be light in this world? Right? We're not supposed to be influenced by darkness. We ought to live in such a way that we are influencing people for right. They ought to look at Christians and say, I may not agree with you, but I know where you stand, and I know what you're for. But we rationalize away anything. We can rationalize sinful behavior by misapplying the Word of God. The biggest thing is, though, we're really good at rationalizing away the will of God for our life. That would be God's plan. See? I say this jokingly, but many of our young people, they would rather come down to the altar and surrender to be Russell Anderson than they would a missionary or a pastor. You know, Russell Anderson was a millionaire that gave millions. He used his business to give millions to ministries, and they're like, I'm in. Okay, but what about you be the one that goes out and does the work? All I'm saying is this, let's find God's plan and let's not try to change it. Let's not try to manufacture it ourselves. Let's just follow it. Amen. And it's so easy in our flesh to do that. The real reason people are not open to God's plan simply is because we have our own. So we have to choose to commit to God's plan. Number two, we also have to choose the patience and timing. Look at back to 16 and verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. This is where all of this is going to start from. She is past that point in her life from a physical standpoint. Now, God's going to intervene. If God says it, it's going to happen. So this is going to start. So there's an impatience in this. And let me say this. Even when God told her specifically what was going to happen, she struggled. Turn over to chapter 18 real quick. That's a couple chapters over. Chapter 18 and verse number 10. Because when a person struggles, I have found they're struggling, they'll struggle no matter what until God gets a hold of them. Chapter 18 and verse 10. And he said, this is the angel speaking to Abraham, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Now, Sarah was listening in. There was these angels. This is before the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing. And Sarah was listening in, and Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She couldn't have children anymore. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She started laughing like, there's no way. I'm not having a child. Isn't it going to happen? And the Lord said unto Abraham, by the way, remember we talked this morning, God sees everything. Here it is. The Lord said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And then we know this verse. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Look at Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1. God's plan came to fruition. Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for she conceived and bare Abraham her son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. If I do my math right from when God told them, I believe that was about a 25-year time frame. From the time that God said, I don't think I'm mistaken, if you go back to the time God told them. So about 25 years from the time that God said until they had the baby. They got impatient. Sarah didn't have a child, and so she's going to bear this plan out because she was impatient. Do you know why most people choose Hagar and make unspiritual decisions? We get impatient with what is going on in our life. And we allow the impatience to be the engine to drive the bad decisions and not waiting upon the Lord. Trusting in the Lord and waiting for him go hand in hand. I love Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You say, that's a great verse. I know. But you know what we struggle with? The backside of that verse. And lean not unto thine own understanding. whenever we're trying to trust in God, you know what starts to happen? Our mind starts, the wheels start to turn, and our own understanding tries to conflict with it. Well, if God wanted me to have a child, I mean, come on, that was 20 years ago. I mean, obviously we have to do something to help him out. It was so long ago, are you sure that's what he said? Maybe you misunderstood what he was saying. It's that our mind starts to fight it. And by the way, it's just normal. That's why we have to trust in the Lord. Just because there's not a timeline in these verses in Proverbs doesn't mean they're not true. A lack of impatience has caused many of people to make bad spiritual decisions. I've seen singles who get impatient. No one's ever going to marry me, so they marry the wrong person. I would rather stay single than marry the wrong person. Yeah, no, I'm telling you. Anybody that's married would tell you that. Not that their marriage is bad. The reason they will tell you that is because they know what goes into having a good marriage. And you know what goes into having a good marriage? You got to have the right person. You singles, the greatest decision you will make other than salvation, which will determine where your life goes, is who you marry. And I'm telling you that right now. I was talking about when I was announcing the Bible Institute class, I was telling my Sunday school class, it's like, look, everything in your life can be right. Everything can be right. You can have a great job. You can make a lot of money. You can be successful in every area of your life. But if your marriage isn't right and your home's not right, it doesn't matter. You'll be miserable. Okay? Wait on the Lord. People get frustrated with what's going on where they're living, so they have to move somewhere else. Well, I'm tired of the taxes in California. So am I. I'm tired of our governor. I was tired of him before he ever got elected. Well, I'm going to move to Wichita. Low taxes and lower house prices. Have you ever been to Wichita? Well, I'll move to Texas. You know what we're feeling today? Texas is like that all the time, with humidity. I jokingly say, you know what the best thing to come out of Texas is? The interstate. Okay. Listen, it's about finding where God wants you to live. By the way, I'll say this because I know people get frustrated with our state. I get frustrated. No, I am frustrated. But you know what? God has given us here a great opportunity to reach people with the gospel. Listen, by the way, don't listen to people that criticize California. I hear preachers talk about California. It's a land of fruits and nuts. Nothing good's going on out here. There's a lot of good going on out here. God's doing some things. Because the darker it is, the brighter the light shines, and the more confused people are, the more they're looking for something. We get pressured about situations in life, so we make a hasty decision. Don't get impatient. Because when you do, you're going to make a decision based on your own thoughts, not God's truth. And by the way, your thoughts are nowhere near his thoughts. We make decisions based on pressures, not God's principles. We make decisions based on influences, not proper information. We follow our feelings. We do not follow faith. We make decisions based on now, not what will happen later. We make decisions based on the temporal, not on the eternal. Don't make decisions when you're feeling pressure to do so. Find what God wants and go with that. It doesn't hurt to wait. Because when we don't have patience and wait on the Lord, you know what happens? We say, God, for this instance, I'm going to take you out of the equation and just sit you over here. I don't know about you. I don't know enough about life to make decisions like that. Life's too important to make that kind of decision. Thirdly, how do you avoid making a Hagar decision? Choose the counsel of faith. Now, Sarah's going to start to give him his plan. But she starts with whining. Look at verse 2. And Sarai said unto Abraham, by the way, this reveals her heart and reveals why she's wrong. Are you ready? And Sarai said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. What she's saying is, in essence, if I can paraphrase here, a really bad plan is about to be hatched. And the reason this plan's going to be hatched is because God has kept me from having children. It's God's fault. She knew the plan. I'm sure Abraham told her, hey, listen, I spoke to God today. I know it's a little bit out there, but God said we're going to have a child. She's probably thinking, what? She's like, okay. And then time went on. So now she's like, gets impatient and says, you know what? God has kept me from bearing. Well, God wasn't going to keep her permanently from bearing. So this was a statement that lacked faith. And so, now listen to me now. Okay, so everything else that she's going to ask him to do from that point on is being told from a lack of faith. Therefore, don't listen. Are you with me? Why in the world would we let somebody that doesn't have any spirituality tell us what to do? And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying we got to look at them and say, look, these people, they're not bad people. They just don't understand God. And so I'm just going to wait on God. Be careful. We get such bad counsel from people when it lacks God. Someone named George MacDonald said this. I don't know who he is, but I know the statement. In whatsoever man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed more miserably. See, your plan may come to fruition from a lack of faith, and it'll seem like you succeed in that plan, but the overall result is not going to be good. Get the right kind of counsel. Life's greatest choices should be backed with truth. Look at Psalm chapter 1. We know it very well. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Yeah, but this person had a PhD. What, post hole digger? Okay. You know. If that PhD isn't in Jesus, if what he's asking me to do cannot be rooted in Scripture, I don't care how many degrees he has behind his name. I want to know what the Bible says. And you can share with me something, and if it has the truth of the Scripture back behind it, I'm in. But when someone's giving you something that is starting from a lack of biblical faith, I'm not going to listen. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sinneth in the seat of the scornful. What am I saying here? I'm saying this. We need to quit getting truth from unsaved resources. The brother Esposito said it, and I've said it before in a different way. He said, you know, everybody's being discipled. Remember a couple Thursdays ago? It's just, who are they being discipled by? Most people are being discipled by CNN, Taylor Swift. I like her music. That's why I throw her in there. Like, Taylor Swift, I don't like her music. It's godless. You know, but I'm just saying, what is she going to tell me about life? Those musicians you listen to, their lives are train wrecks. Those actors you love, how many times have they been married? These people that are rich and telling you how to live your life, come on, they're not living on the same plane as you. Why are we going to let them tell us how to live? Quit listening to unsaved resources. I'm not saying we are mean to them. Look, I'm old enough. I'm not old. I'm older. My wife says, no, honey, we're old. I always say something, oh, man, oh, that's okay, honey, we're old. I'm like, stop that. Speak for yourself. But I am old enough to understand this. I remember when athletes used to just play ball. Not trying to tell me who to vote for. By the way, they're telling me to vote for people whose policies are killing us, but because they have so much money, it doesn't bother them. And their morality's out the window. I am older. I remember when advertisements used to tell you what the products could do for you, not telling me what I should believe about the nonsense of this world. I used to say, look, eat our hamburger, it's good. Now it's telling you transgenderism's good. Keep your hamburger, I don't want it, especially if it's from McDonald's. We also need to quit. Now listen, that we understand that. A lot of us do. If you're new, you may not understand it. Be very careful. And I'm not saying we hate those people. They just don't know God. But here's one that's even more dangerous. Are you ready? We need to quit getting counsel from unspiritual resources. These are people that will claim to be Christians. You know who's more dangerous? Them. Because they claim Christ. You see, if I, you know, If I'm talking to someone that's unsaved, and I've done it, and I've worked with people that are unsaved. In fact, most of our staff's unsaved. And just kidding. And listen, you'll talk to them, and they'll say some things that are ridiculous, and I don't argue with them because they're not saved. I understand that. I'm not hassling them. They need Jesus. And I get it. I don't need to argue with them. Like, I'm just trying to build a relationship and share the Lord with them. But, and I know that, so I can shut that out. But you know, I'm a Christian too. That usually is followed by nonsense. I'm not going to gauge spirituality by Christians. I want to gauge it by Scripture. And if I know someone's shooting scriptural principles to me, I want to learn from them. And so let's be very careful. If somebody has a lack of faith in their life, they're not to be listened to. They're to be encouraged to get their life where it should be. That's where Abraham should have stepped up and said, honey, by the way, a lot of the problems in our homes because the husbands don't say that. But that didn't go over well. Okay, honey, hold on. That's not true. God hasn't kept you from that. Instead, he listened to the plan. Okay, so what happened? Number four, choose the trust of truth. So she gives this now you know where it's going here. So she continues in verse 2, I pray thee, go in unto my maid. Hey, Hagar, there you go. We'll have a kid with her. Look at those three words. You say it out loud with me. Ready? It may be that I may obtain children by her. It may be. Does that sound confident? Does that sound like the plan is rock solid? It may be. I'm not going to trust my life on it may be. I'm not. I'm not going to make a huge decision in my life based on doubt. It may be. Hey, I'm like, honey, if you're not sure, I'm not sure. The only way we know it's sure is if it comes from God's word. Well, you know, this may work. No, I'm not going to do that. Why is it that we say we believe in God and we trust him and have faith, but we just don't follow his word? By the way, I know God's word isn't a it may be, because it's forever settled in heaven. I know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall never pass away. It is about as rock solid as you can get. The more of God's word that you know and the more that you're committed to obey it, the better your decisions will be. You say, Pastor, why do you tell us to get into God's word for ourselves? Because that's the only way you're going to know his truth, and that's the only way you're going to make those right decisions. That's the only way that when a Satan gives up and like comes up and whispers, did God really say that? You can say, yes, he did. Well, what you think isn't what God said. That's the only way we're going to know it. And so God's truth is at a premium. Don't trust your life to something that may happen. Well, if I follow this course of action, this may get me to where I want to be. Well, is that where God wants you to be? Well, it may get me to where God wants you to be. Is that how he wants you to get there? Let's just follow him. Let me hasten. Number 5, you got to choose the prayer for guidance. Verse 3, and Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar. So she drops this plan, boom, and took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. I'm sorry, Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Here's my plan. Here's Hagar. Here's Abraham. Ta-da. My question is, he didn't even ask God one time about it. He's not afraid to pray, right? Remember when God said, hey, I'm going to take down Sodom and Gomorrah? He's like, hey, would you really do that if there were 50 righteous? And God's like, no, 40? I mean, almost like he's bargaining. 30, 30, 30, down to 20, 20, 20, 50. He stopped at 10. And 10 wasn't enough. He wasn't afraid to talk to God. Why didn't he take this plan to God? By the way, be willing to pray about things. Be willing to take the time before you make a decision to be patient enough to pray about it. Let me just say this. If you don't have time to pray about a life-altering decision, that's not a decision that needs to be made. Now, I do understand this. I'm not being ignorant. I'm understanding that sometimes things come at us in life and we need to make a quick decision. That's why we need to be in God's word all the time. But remember, what did Nehemiah do when he was talking back and forth about trying to go back and build the wall? The king's asking him the question, and before he answered it, he took a second to pray in his mind. I mean, you can always pray. The reason we don't want to pray about things sometimes, you really want to know why? It's because we think God might just cut out what we want to do. You know, I'm going to just up and move to the other side of the country because I think that's just better. Okay, pray about it. And if God sends you on your way, go. But you know, I know you're not going to pray about it because you already made up your mind. Don't make a decision without spending time praying. I think this person is the right person for me. Why don't you pray? I mean, hardcore pray. Lord, if this is not the person for me, would you make it abundantly clear they're not the right person? You don't want to pray like that because we've already decided that our emotions involve that's the right person. And you can take any situation of life. There are several ways that we should pray about a decision. Make sure when we're praying, we're not trying to force God to come around to your plan. How many of you have ever done that? I've done it. Like, I'll pray about something. I'm like, no, Lord, I've asked you, is this the right thing to do? But let me give you a few reasons why it is. Point one, and it'll be alliterated outline too. It's good for me. Number two, it's good for you. It's good for all of mankind. Okay? You know what? That's trying to force God to give me what I want, right? You ought to just come and like, now, Lord, I'm looking at this, and I think this is the best, but what do you want? Lord, would you just lead me and direct me? Sometimes we're praying, we're trying to use the wrong impulses. You know, I prayed, and it's funny, when I got up, I saw a shooting star. That just must be God saying it's the right decision. Could just be a shooting star, right? Here's one. I feel peace about it. Now, I get it. I get that sometimes God, if we've worked through everything else, the last thing we're going to get is peace. But you know what we do? We pray, and just because there's peace, we think it's the right thing. Hey, Jonah was about as disobedient as they get. He was running from God in the middle of a storm, and they think the ship's going down, and he is sawing logs at the bottom of the ship. He is dead asleep. He had peace. But he was wrong. And so let's let God really lead us. Because God will if we let him. And then lastly, can I just be super honest here about why Abraham may have chosen this one? Are you ready? Choose the control of lust. Let's just be legit here. I don't know. But it says, and he went in unto Hagar. She said, hey, here's Hagar. And he probably looked and like, look, she's like 20s. Sarah's like 90s. You know, let's pray about this. Wow, she's cute. I'm not saying that, but I guarantee you that played in on it. Come on. We're not dumb. You know, look, why is it every 40 or 50-year-old single guy is looking for a 20-year-old wife? Stop that. That's just silly. I heard something. This is funny. It kind of goes with this, but did you know the 10th president of the United States was Tyler? He was president from 1841 to 1845. Do you know, as of a couple years ago, his grandson was alive? He was born in 1790, the president. You know why? After his first wife died and he was super old, he married a young girl and had a kid. That kid's first wife died and had a kid when he was 75. Now his kid's like 90. It's like, look, everybody wants, come on now. And maybe I'm wrong. But I am a guy, so I can figure things out. But maybe I'm wrong. But here's the point. Is it not true that sometimes we allow the flesh to make the decision? And I'm not talking just about you. I'm talking about me, right? You're trying to make this decision in life, and if there is a part of it, if it's wrong, that appeals to the flesh, be very careful because the flesh will say, I think it's a really good idea. You have to take that out of the equation, right? You have to say, Lord, and it may not be something like this, okay, where, you know, she's cute and all that. It may just be something like, this is something I would really want in life. You desire that. And maybe that's what God wants for you. But when it comes to making the decision, take that out of the equation, right? Sometimes God does that. The thing that you've kind of wanted to do and you felt, and God's like, that's exactly what I want for you. That's okay. But don't let that be the determining factor, if you know what I'm saying. Just because it's something you've always wanted to do, don't let God, you know, don't let that shoehorn into God's will. Put that to the side. By the way, I do know this. Whatever God has you do, whatever God has you do in life, you'll love it because that's what God created you for. You'll love it. But let's not let our flesh get involved, because when our flesh gets involved, let's just be real honest with you, we're not going to make good spiritual decisions. We're going to make decisions based on what we feel is good for us. What's the point tonight? Here's the point. Let's make sure, as we make decisions in our life, and some are bigger than others, let's make sure that we're not choosing Hagar. We're not choosing things that we're making these decisions based on ourselves and faulty information, that we're doing everything we can to say, Lord, I want to make the decision that you would want me to make. The right decision. Sometimes we do have to wait, and that's kind of frustrating. But it's better to wait to get the right thing than to get the wrong thing immediately. The best thing we should want is what? God's will. And by the way, God wants you to follow his will. He'll let you know what it is as we walk with him each day. Let's stand together if we may. If we can bow our heads and close our eyes for a minute. How do you make the decisions in your life? How do you make the decisions? By the way, let me just say this. I didn't say this, but don't let Satan give you this thought that, you know, the decision that God is going to have for you will be something that you'll absolutely hate, but that's what God wants. God doesn't work like that. The things that God has for you, the decisions he wants you to make, will take you to things that you will be absolutely happy and joyful that you got there. God's our father, right? We're parents. We want the best for our children. That's what God wants for you. We just have to trust him enough to say, hey, I'm gonna follow him, and I'm going to do what he wants me to do. And I'm not going to let these other things, and I'm going to choose something that's lesser. Something that won't get me to where I want to be, but will bring drama into my life. We don't have to have that. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you this evening, why don't you come?